I'm going to tell you guys a story today. It's a story about us. It's a story we've all heard before, and it's a story of seeds. Really, it's a principle I want to talk about, and hopefully we can all grasp it and really, rise to our purpose in the Lord. You know, it starts in Genesis. So the Bible is written kind of like a script, a movie script. I mean, just to make it relatable. Nothing is there that is meaningless, has no purpose, right? It all has some purpose to be there. And that's especially true in Genesis. And I've got a few passages to read from Genesis here, and I want to talk about them. It really strikes me as a multidimensional book. The whole book is 66 books, 40 authors, but all one story by God, right? When he speaks, it seems like he speaks in 10 dimensions. You know, it's not just one simple, let there be light. That means like 10 different things or 100 different things, right? So I want to read through a few passages of Genesis, and I'll read out the concordance so you guys can follow along if you want to, but I didn't get a chance to put them up on there, so you just have to listen to me. But I feel like he says a lot more than just what we know about this story that we've heard, you know, many, many times. So I'm going to start in Genesis 1:11. And I'm reading the ESV version. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kind, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then it was evening and morning in the third day. And then I'm going to skip down to Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image. I feel like I need a booming voice for this part. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, over the every living creature, thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. So that's the first batch there. The things I noticed in this that I want to point out are how both of those passages, and really all through the book, the Genesis, the creation of the earth, he says the word, he speaks it first. And then he acts, right? So there's a word, let there be, and then it was so. And it reads out the exact same thing, right? So let the earth sprout vegetation, plants and trees, God said. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation and plants and trees, right? He's demonstrating something for us that I'm going to touch on. But what precedes a spoken word? A thought, right? I mean, I've let my mouth run sometimes without thinking, and it never gives me anything good, you know? It's not very fruitful. But he obviously thinks, so there's an implied thought that goes into this. So he thinks it, and then he speaks it, and then it happens, right? So he's demonstrating for us in the 5 days of creation building up to man how this works. He also, in that passage, gave us an example of how to be fruitful and multiply. When he planted the trees and the plants with seed and the seeds within the fruit of the trees, right? That was the third day. He planted those things, and it really, it demonstrates to us the principle of being fruitful and multiplying. He sets these things in motion, you know. It's really beautiful. So Genesis 2, I'm going to start the next passage here, and then we're going to, actually I'll do one more passage, and then we'll talk. So Genesis 2:5, when no bush on the field of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust and from the ground and breathed it, dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And then later in that same chapter, he talks about putting man in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. he actually, what struck me about this, he actually talks about man's purpose before man is even created. He says there were no plants and trees on the earth, little plants and little bushes, because he hadn't caused it to rain and there was no man to do the work. So like, there's no man. So how, you know, that's kind of blew my mind. Like, wait, he's doing all this for us and all this for a purpose. He prepares a place before he brings us into it. You know, he prepares Eden. He actually created Eden and planted a garden, made man, and then put him into the garden. He didn't make him in Eden. Kind of wild. He also says God had not caused it to rain, and there was no man to do the work. This means he actually wants to co-labor with us. He doesn't ever want us to do this thing by ourselves. If he tells us something to do or gives us some seed in us, he doesn't say, now go do it. He says, let's do this together. He actually wants a work buddy. I kind of know how this is. My dad used to invite us boys out to work with him on the sprinkler system in the yard. You know, he'd say, get your grubbies on, boys. It's a work day. And he would go out there and have a real purpose in mind, and he'd be doing the stuff, and then he'd say, hey, get me that saw or that whatever, you know. He probably really didn't need me there. You know, I was like 7 or 8 or 10. But he liked having me there. He liked to do it with me. You know, he had a purpose in mind, and he wanted to do it with somebody. And that was me. Or I had 3 brothers and a sister, so we all kind of helped him out. So we got the sprinklers done. That was the great part. So the last passage I want to read in Genesis is after the fall, and then I'm going to tie it all together. So this is Genesis 3, the second half of 17 through 19. And God said, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Almost sounds like an insult. You know, hey, sweaty face, eat bread and die, you piece of dirt. You know? This part of the Bible is a really loud part because it's the creation, right? It's like, oh, it's how man was made and how he fell. And you know, it's kind of like spiky. Like we think of Genesis, we think of that, you know. But I think there are principles in there. There's many principles that I'm not even going to talk about, but some that we kind of miss. And it's such a rich, rich book. I could probably stay in Genesis all my life, really. When he talks about seeds in Genesis, planting seeds and then plants that create their own seeds and fruit trees that bear fruit in which is their seed. He's talking about purpose in the earth. On the third day, he planted his own purpose in the earth. He has a purpose for the earth that is his responsibility only. Man wasn't even around. And it's an example to us of how it all works. He never does anything without having given us an example first. Does that make sense? So these are things that are potential, the things that are meant to be there, and things that he will tend to. And then on the sixth day, he gave us small plants and bushes, it says. Which, you know, thank God for that, because I was actually, as I was thinking about this, I thought, what would it be like to tend to a forest or a jungle? Try and grow that thing and water it and trim it and all that stuff. It would be impossible. Actually reminded me of a movie, Bruce Almighty. Have you guys seen that movie? Jim Carrey plays Bruce, this guy who had a really bad day, curses God, like, I could do a better job than you. And God says, all right, how about you do a better job than me? Take my powers, you know, and he botches it. About 24 hours later, it's all ruined, you know. Turns out it was only about a square mile that he gave him power over, you know. That's kind of what this feels like. So God plants these big forests and says, don't worry about those. I'll take care of those. But I'm going to give you a little garden, and I'm going to put you in it. Let's talk about seeds. Seeds grow their own kind, right? You'd plant an acorn, you're going to get an oak tree. You'll never get an apple tree, right? When I actually built these this box, vegetable garden box thing, and I bought some tomato seeds. And I was looking at that package looking, man, I want some of those tomatoes. I'm going to plant these seeds, you know? So I planted the seeds. I didn't think, like, oh, I want a job. I want to take care of a tomato plant, you know. I thought, I'm going to eat some tomatoes here pretty soon. So I planted the seeds and I started to water them. And nothing was happening. It's just dirt, you know, watering, watering, watering. And one day, it pops up, a little sprout. Hey, that's the beginning of what I want, this tomato seeds, you know, tomatoes on the thing. So I had to wait and I had to attend to it and give it my attention and care and focus, you know, until one day I had tomatoes and it was great. And each of those tomatoes had a bunch of seeds and I could plant those for more tomatoes, you know. I believe that God did a similar thing on earth when he planted man. He took himself and he said, I want to see a bunch of me in different human form. In fact, when he planted man, he said, be fruitful and multiply, which means he was thinking about us. He saw our face on that tomato packet seed and said, I want these guys. I want you, you know. Really amazing. We're in Genesis. We're the fruitful and multiplying, you know, which means we also carry God's seed in us because we are the fruit, right? And we're not stone fruit. We don't just have one seed. I believe we're tomatoes. We have a lot of seeds, pomegranates. If you take a better way to say this, I think, is you take a cup of water from the ocean and you examine it. It has the exact same makeup as the ocean, but it's just smaller in volume. That's exactly what God did with us. What we carry inside of us, I think we are selling ourselves short by, you know, believing lies. We actually have the seeds of the living God in us. We carry the same makeup as him. And I'm gonna show you as we go. I'm going to take you through a little journey here. So what else grows when we plant a garden? Weeds. Yes, curses the ground because of you, right? Thorns and thistles. It's a real bummer. So those are always going to be there. They will always be there. Our job is to plant the seeds, water them, and pull the weeds, right? That's all we have to do, really. Take care of it and focus on it. What is God's job in the whole scenario? To grow those seeds, right? One man sows, another man reaps, but God provides the increase. When you put a seed into the ground, it could have been sitting on my desk for 100 years. In fact, some seeds feel like they've been sitting there for a long time. You know, I'll plant that someday. When we plant that seed, it somehow calls the nutrients it needs to it. Doesn't matter how long it's been sitting there, it's potential. As soon as it goes in the ground, it calls to it what it needs. And we water it. That's all we have to do is just give it some attention like this. And then God fills it with this life force. And soon we have an actual plant. We actually have actual fruit. One man sows, another man reaps. But it's God under the ground that's providing the increase. God grows where our attention goes. We plant the seed and we focus on it. We pour our water on it and we think about it. We just care for it. We tend to it. Pull out the weeds and then God grows it. That's a good principle right there. So we're not really entirely talking about gardening right here. We're talking about ideas. Seeds are really ideas. Last week, Sam said something at the end of the service. I don't know how many of you are here, but he talked about the seeds of revival being planted in you. And it really struck me. I thought, man, what does that mean? A seed of revival in me. I believe that is actually what happens. You know, man's made from dirt for a reason. We get seeds planted in us, and then they grow. And the seeds are ideas. They're thoughts. They're purpose. They're things like that God intends for us to cultivate. Because he said, work the ground, right? He doesn't say, hey, let those seeds grow, I'll take care of it. He says, you help me out, you know. So here's how to grow the seeds. Anything in our life that we've had planted, others can sow seeds in us. We can sow seeds in others. We test them by the Spirit, right? If somebody says something to us, hey, I think you should do this. That's a seed. And now we have to say, okay, Lord, should I do that? Is that a thing I need to do? And if it's not, then we take that seed out. You know, we dig it up or we let it die. But if it's something that God, we feel like, yeah, that is something I need to do. We need to cultivate that thing. It's part of our purpose here on earth. So the way you grow seeds inside of you is the same way you do it in the dirt. You give it attention. That's watering it. You just focus on it. You think about it. You pray. You meditate on the things that God has put in your life. If he drops a seed or even just a thought He means for us to focus on that thought. And we pray and we work it. We let it mature in our minds, in our hearts, until one day, pop, above the surface comes a little sprout. And we don't stop. We continue to water, because if we do it, we stop, it'll die. So we got to keep on watering, keep on working until we see the fruit. We have to basically keep that seed packet. When we get an idea, oh, I see a business idea, a ministry. I see, let's say, a restoration with a family member or a healing or whatever it is that God says, hey, you can have this. We keep that seed packet in our minds and say, I'm going to have that tomato. I'm going to have that healing in my life. I'm going to have that whatever, that breakthrough, and I'm going to keep on watering this thing because God put it in me, and it will happen. It's a principle. It will not fail you if you do this. We're called actually to think, really. That's what God kind of, that's what sets us apart from the animals. We're conscious. We're sentient, right? When we talk about prayer and meditation has kind of been taken from the church and given a New Age definition, which means to empty your mind. And that's not really it at all. It's actually to fill your mind with, you know, when David said, I meditate on the word day and night, he's filling his mind with it, his heart with it. He's thinking about it. The Lord says to do that with this thing. When we focus our attention, it's such a value, such a unique thing, the attention he's given us and the ability to focus our attention on things and actually watch them grow. Sow, reap, God provides the increase. We focus on something and God focuses on it too. It's kind of mind-boggling when we think about it, but oftentimes we don't focus on things. We let things just kind of lay and weeds grow up, right? That will happen. So in Philippians 4, he says, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind. He's always talking about that. It's what sets us apart. It's what actually makes us God-like. Not God. God-like. Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson, famous poet, said, we are what we think about all day long. Will Durant actually paraphrased Aristotle, and he said, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. And Proverbs 23 says it this way, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we water seeds by thinking about them. We focus on them. We keep our attention on them. Make sure you maintain your consciousness and what you're focusing on, what you're thinking about. That's why we take every thought captive, right? So what are the weeds when they grow up? What does that represent in our life? It's the cares of this world, right? It's you can't do it. Who are you to do that? What will everybody think? Ah, it's not worth it. Right? It's the fear of man. Most of it is really what other people will think of us, or it's, I don't want to, just laziness. I don't want to do it. I can't do it. It's too much. But Psalms 128, actually, this one blew my mind. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. This is how to pull the weeds. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Pretty simple. When we fear God, we don't fear man. We respect him over men, over the opinions of others. We don't have weeds. That's how you pull them out. We keep that thing. It's like Miracle-Gro or whatever the stuff that kills weeds. The bad stuff. Actually, there was a news article about it. It's not good. Anyways. So it starts with the fear of God. And we let that fear build voices against those things that talk against us, the weeds. So who do you think you are? I'm the son of God, daughter of God. That's who I am. That's just like Jesus did in the temptation. You can't do it. I can do it because God put the seed in me. And if he put the seed in me, you got to take it up with him. I can do it because he purposed it in me. You know, takes 21 days to create a habit. You know, remember when you started driving a car? Most of us, I think, in here drive. my son does too. When you started driving, you actually started by putting into gear and then step on the pedal and you're checking your mirrors and everything's conscious, right? That's where you're like totally focused, totally stressed. After a few weeks, 3 weeks or so, it starts to be subconscious and we just get, now we drive to work and it's like, how did I get here? You know? that's scary, actually, but it's your subconscious. There's conscious and subconscious. Conscious can only really hold 7 things in it at once. Subconscious is, it's doing everything for us right now. It's you know, it's why we're so hot. It's saying, hey, get out of here. You're hot. Fan yourself. So if we take that and we're conscious of these thoughts and these things for 21 days, we can actually create a new habit in us. If there's something that says, hey, you can't do that. Yes, I can do that. Pretty soon, 21 days later, that voice will go away. And it won't come back. And then you move on to the next one. You say, okay, what else you got for me? You know, I know who I am and I know what my purpose is. If you don't, we're going to pray for you later. So we were created in the image of God. Sorry if I'm moving fast. I have a lot. I'm running out of time. I don't want to skip it. But we're created in the image of God, right? Image and imagination are from the same root. They're really the same imagery, image part of the brain. My wife and I, will, with the kids, we'll tell them to close their eyes and imagine their toothbrush. And that's really them being aware of that image center in our brain that God gave us. It's the place where we create ideas and thoughts. We are his imagination, and it's not a childish thing. It's actually where everything starts. Every idea, every business, every thought, every worthwhile effort has started as an idea or in someone's imagination. Which is really it's an unseen place. It's some place we can't even tell what's going on because it's inside of my head or somewhere. I don't know where it is, but it's not where somebody can see it. You know, thank God that you don't see what I'm imagining all the time. Because, actually, that sounds bad. But anyways, so I'm going to read from Hebrews 11. It says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. What is seen was made out of things that are invisible. All things were made out of something that was invisible." That means this world is an outcome of that world. Everything that comes to this world, every purpose, Dreamfest, this church, Apple computers, you know, you name it, that's always the example we give. Everything has come from an unseen world. It's amazing. So 1 + 1 = 2, right? If you have 1 + 1 = 2, 2 is this world. Equals, and everything beyond, is the unseen world. That's the place where everything starts. So when we get it backwards, we say, okay, the world, here's what I see, so I'm going to try and go this way. That's when we get into works. That's when we get into pleasing man, and we get into pride and ego, right? Everything is created in the hidden space. If you look at a seed, when you plant it in the ground, we cover it up and we water it. You can't have it sitting on the top because it will die. But it goes under the ground and we water it. And something amazing happens under there. A miracle happens. And then soon new life is created, right? When you pray, Matthew 6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to our Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That's planting a seed. That is you going into a place that is hidden and creating something out of that. 3 days he was hidden in the tomb. On the third day, it changed the world, changed history. But he had to be hidden. It couldn't just happen out in the open. I don't know why God does this, but it's a hidden place that he wants to meet us individually. We can't be together like us. It has to be us and God. It's back to the beginning, the rain and us working the ground. I don't know why he does it, but it's a principle and it works. Purpose always starts in the hidden place. So, what do we do with this? Our minds are the biggest piece of real estate that we own. I mean, somebody told me from the neck down, you get minimum wage. From the neck up, it's the sky's the limit, right? I mean, that's working. But it's really true. You can't really do anything worthwhile from the neck down. It's all here. And things will grow there regardless, whether we tend to them or not. I mean, if I go to my garden and I say, I hope an apple tree plant grows there, or a tomato plant, will it grow there? No, not if I don't plant the seed and put it there. What will grow there? Weeds, things I don't want. Nothing good will grow there. I have to be conscious and purposeful of that garden. So a lot of us have squatters in our minds who are planting seeds in our minds, in our property, and are using our attention to water their seeds. And these squatters can be family members. They can be spouses. They can be kids. They can be parents. They can be grandparents, aunts, you name it, friends. They can be anchors on syndicated networks. They can be politicians. They can be you name it. There are people that are in our brains and are taking our attention away from our purpose that God has put here us on the earth for. And the way you can find these squatters is by seeing who can push your buttons and get your emotions worked up. I'm assuming most of us have had that experience. If somebody is able to do, it doesn't matter if you know them or if you don't. If they can do something to tweak you and make you just worked up, they own that part of your land. Now your mind belongs to them, you know. And the way we get rid of them is to actually change that. You have the permission. Sometimes you have to give yourself permission to not respond to somebody that way. Somebody says, I'm going to, you know, watch this. I'm going to work them up. And you can just one day say, no, that's okay. Yeah, you do you, I'll do me. You know, that's it, you know. Someone on the news says something you don't like or something happens. You know, our usual reaction is just flip out. You know what? I understand it's bad, but I'm not going to react. You know, we control ourselves. Once we do that, those squatters are gone. We have our land back. It's full of gold. It is full of ideas and precious, precious land that God has put into our minds that he wants us to take back as a church. And the reason that we want to do this, that he wants us to do this, is because he's given each of you a purpose. And somebody in this earth needs your purpose. They need something that you have. He's put you here not for just, hey, watch this guy. I'm going to put him on earth and let him do whatever he does. No, he put you here to say, watch what happens. This person's going to start this thing or do this thing, and it's going to touch these lives over here. And they're going to know me. They're going to know the Father. Creation is groaning for us to be the sons and daughters of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? His son died, made us all sons and daughters. He still loves the world, and he's still giving his sons and daughters to the world. That's us. It's amazing. The mantle we carry because of Jesus, we get to come to this world and fulfill a purpose and touch lives just like he did. I was in Pittsburgh yesterday, Pennsylvania. I'd never been there, actually. Has anybody else been to Pittsburgh? Eddie? It's beautiful. I was expecting Detroit. I'm sorry if that's, you know, I was expecting like broken concrete and like sad people and just like drab sky. Man, it was beautiful. It was like rivers and bridges and trees and all that stuff. Anyways, I was there with a client of mine to help them launch their business. And I asked the couple who owns the business to tell me their story behind it. And ministry team, actually, not ministry, but worship team, if you guys want to come up and just get ready. I'm going to tell the story, and then we're going to close up. So I asked the lady who owns it, she and her husband and her two kids are running it, two kids and their daughter's husband. And I said, tell me about your story, about this, how this thing worked, how this came to be. She said, about 15 years ago, she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. God gripped her. And they had a multi-million dollar business. It was doing very well, opulence. And God said, I want you to sell everything, quit the business, and go into ministry school. And they were like, okay, you know, this has got to be God because it's crazy. So they did. Their kids didn't like it too much, as you can imagine. And their son especially didn't like it. He, in fact, he got angry at God for making this happen in his life. He walked away from God and hates God. Fortunately, he doesn't hate his mom. And the son was living in Pittsburgh. They were all in California at this time, but the son moved to Pittsburgh, called his mom out and said, "Hey, there's this building I want to get for my house. I want to do all this stuff." She says, "That's going to be way too expensive. We can't do that. What else you got? What else could we do with that building?" He says, he sits back for a little bit, and they're at dinner in Pittsburgh. And she said, "I watched as God dropped a seed right into my son. And he just started laying out this entire business idea of a restaurant. And it was going to be, he came up with a name. He came up with everything, how it would all work." And she's at the end of it, he just says, "Man, I don't know where that came from, but there's the idea." And she goes, "We can get behind that." And so the whole family moved to Pittsburgh and put all their money into this thing. For 2 years, they've been building and building and building. And I was there to see the first fruits of that labor, of the business, the grand opening. It was a wild success. It was great. And it struck me that God had to put that seed in the son to keep him there and to keep him going and get the family to rally around him. And I saw the beginnings of that sprout coming up through the dirt in their son to turn him back to the Lord. And it amazed me that God, he just knows, he knows everything. He knows how to do the stuff. He knows where to plant the seed. She's looking like, "Lord, what do I do?" And she plants a seed in her son, the one that has walked away from him. He loves us so much that he sends his sons and daughters. He needs her purpose. She needs his purpose. God gave him purpose to bring him back to him. So I'd like to, you guys will sing in a second, but I'd like to also invite the ministry team up. And if anybody here has lost their purpose, has forgotten their purpose, has weeds and squatters in their mind that they want help getting deliverance from, it's totally possible. Everything is possible. God would not have made it a part of Scripture if it wasn't. So he is here for you. He's here to give you your purpose back and to re-energize you in the purpose and the reason he's given you, put you on this earth. So I'd like you to come forward and receive prayer for that after the ministry gets here. And we're going to worship the Lord a little bit more.